now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
With your host, Michael B., coming to you live on this absolutely gorgeous Friday morning here in northern Dallas, Texas. And we've got clips. Oh, we've got clips. And first, I'm going to start off with, there is a difference of philosophy in handling this, what I call this New World Order, fabricated and purposeful Muslim migration that is flooding Europe and will soon to flood the United States. Now, why I say soon to flood the United States. Now, some of you could be in an uproar and say, well, the flooding is taking place now. That is true. But you have to understand that the powers that be are spreading them out all throughout the country. So the only real impact that we see in the United States is places like Dearborn, Michigan, some parts of Minnesota. You might as well call that state Muslim soda. Of course, we have sporadic terrorist attacks taking place in the United States, not as much as Europe. Now, you see, again, the United States, right, is basically makes up, 90%, let's just say, of the North American continent. It's all ours, right? Whereas, Europe is a confederation of individual sovereign nations, which is no longer accurate because they're governed by the European Union. The leaders of the nations that are in that union are basically just puppets, and they're lieutenants now. They're not prime ministers, they're not presidents. They answer to the guy in Brussels. So the reason that I say soon to be flooding the United States, because although we're getting all of these people in here, we're able to absorb that for now due to our size. So that's what I meant by that. So we have a split on the European continent between the East and the West. And it's funny how the stage has flipped. When I was growing up as a kid, Soviet Russia was in charge, and Eastern Europe, was obviously totalitarian, despotic, weren't into nationalism, freedom, and sovereignty. You might as well call the USSR pre-European Union, because all the countries enveloped in the Soviet Union. Yeah, there was the president of Poland and maybe the prime minister of Czechoslovakia, but they really weren't. You know that they had to kick tribute up to the Don, and that was the Kremlin. So we know that to be true. Now it's flipped. Practically all of the Western countries are in the European Union, the new Soviet Russia in this context. They're forfeiting their national sovereignty in two ways. One, again, kicking up to Brussels, and two, allowing the flood of this barbaric, satanic, cultish ideology destroying themselves from within. You look at Eastern Europe, and they're doing the opposite. Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic are taking a rather firm stand against this flood of migration, and they never, those countries never show up on my religion of peace board when I roll off the daily Islamic attacks. They never show up. And there's a reason for that. So my first clip, I don't think I'm going to play all of it because this person goes into other subjects, which are good subjects. I listened to the whole clip, but I'll probably stop it at some point. So in the beginning, he talks about what Poland is doing in confronting fundamental Islamic jihad and the results that they're getting. So here's clip one.
Welcome back to End Times Prophecy News for the 8 o'clock report. Poland has not accepted one refugee, and the results are stunning. Despite a lawsuit from the EU, Poland has denied entry to all refugees. Unlike their neighbors, Poland has not experienced a single terrorist attack. Why? Because they don't let in any of the immigrants or refugees or jihadists, and the EU, which is the New World Order system, has given them a lawsuit. Oh, soon it's coming to America from the EU too, but they won't be able to do much about it. From the Conservative Tribune, whenever anyone makes the argument that opening up borders to poorly vetted migrants from war-torn countries with serious terrorism problems is just inviting terrorist attacks, they're automatically labeling themselves as a fool, and that's if the left is being kind. Yet one European country's experience with dealing with the migrant crisis provides definitive proof of what common sense should have told us. Unchecked migration is virtually an invitation to terrorist organizations like the Islamic State group, and we have a map to prove it. From the beginning, Poland's ruling Law and Justice Party has been nearly alone in the European Union in enforcing border controls. According to the UK Independent Party leader Jarosław Kaczyński, recently affirmed this stance in a political broadcast posted to YouTube. Quote, after recent events connected with acts of terror, Poland will not accept refugees because there is no mechanism that would ensure its security, Kaczyński said, obviously referring to a spate of recent attacks in other EU countries like Sweden and Germany. We learned by your screw-ups. How has that policy worked out for Poland? Well, here's a map of European terrorist attacks since 2012, put together by Karto.com. And here's Poland over here, clean. Look at all the terrorist attacks. Look at all the London ones. Tons of them over here.
So I'm going to stop it right there. Obviously, this was on YouTube, and this was a video. He had put up a map of terrorist attacks in Europe. And when he said Poland was clean since 2012, that means they've had zero attacks. So let's try to figure this out real quick, and I'm going to continue on. Let's think about, okay, so not allowing a flood of Muslim migrants into Poland, and they have zero terrorist attacks by Muslims in practically 5 years. So let's think about that as we listen. So, no Muslim migration and no terrorist attacks. Let's try to figure out what that means. Here we go.
And the Czech Republic as well. Even Slovakia, one, or who knows how many that is, but Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Austria, Switzerland, and France, of course. Real bad in France. Belgium, the Netherlands. Belgium had one bad one, remember? The Netherlands. And, of course, Germany. Real bad. Real bad. But Poland is unscathed. Because they're smart. Just like Trump. Just in, the UK has a grim warning for companies. The UK has warned companies to be prepared for future...
Well, I'm going to stop right there for a second. This man says that Poland is smart like Trump. Well, you see, as we move on into this broadcast, I'm going to make the statement right now that Poland is way smarter than Donald Trump and the United States. And as this broadcast continues today, I think that I'm going to make a very good case here. Poland has a very conservative government now. They have severely weakened the socialist left part of their government to the point where they've been basically nullified, which I've been saying that should be, and I got it from them. This was not my original thought, but I saw them doing this over the last couple of years, and that's what I've been saying needs to be done. To have a chance at restoring the United States to a constitutional republic, it's a two-part plan. Okay? One, we have to weaken, well, it's really the Communist Party, but their name on the paper is the Democratic Party. We have to severely weaken them to the point where they have absolutely, I mean, they can run their mouths, who's ever left, but they have absolutely zero power in passing or blocking laws and statutes for this country. When we accomplish that, and if we're truly committed, if the American people are truly committed, I think that we could get this done by the end of the 2022 midterm election. I think we can do that. If we're truly committed, if we're truly unified in our cause, and keeping a Republican president, obviously, whether it's Trump or someone else, once we've accomplished the nullifying of the Democratic Party, we can then, in earnest, go after the rhinos. And I think what will happen to the Democratic Party is that as they lose so much, they will have to move more towards the center and be more of a JFK-style Democrat for them to gain seats. Because what would happen is, if you have a Democratic conservative with a very good record, as he or she moved up the ranks in the decisions that they've made, I mean, McCain will be probably dead by then, but if you have like a Paul Ryan in there that continues to show his communist new one world order ways, you could possibly slip a Democratic conservative in his seat. It's kind of a gamble, because again, when the Democrats get enough power, they could flip again. So really what you want to do, you want to defeat those rhinos in the primaries. And as far as I'm concerned, Wisconsin and Arizona both dropped the ball. Now, I don't know much about if there even was a person running against Paul Ryan, so I'll give the benefit of the doubt there. But I read up on Kelly Ward, okay? Because I've got Facebook friends like Tiffany Sharp on Facebook who are from Arizona, and I read up on her. And I listened to a couple of her speeches on YouTube, and quite frankly, I don't know what happened, but Arizona, period, whatever happened there, they dropped the ball and pushed McCain through. To me, that was that was probably the biggest mistake of all of the Republican primaries. That one probably was the best shot at getting rid of at least one rhino, but Arizona failed for whatever reason. So, and that would take, well, if we started now in the primaries, maybe by 2028, I'm thinking we could maybe get rid of or severely weaken the establishment on both sides of the aisle. But Poland basically has done that. So they've got a great conservative government. They've got a great conservative, I don't know, what is he? Is he a prime minister or is he a president? Something like that. And obviously they don't have these scandals, these fake scandals. I know Trump is clean, all right, period. I know the guy is clean. I know he's above board. Real dirt would have come out on this man by now. They tried to grab the vajayjay thing. They tried putting up fake women who said that he accosted them or he sexually, harassed them. All of that was, and the pissgate thing, I don't really know what that was about. I didn't pay too much attention to it because it was just nonsense. That didn't work. The crap about Polish illegal immigrants being hired to do a job, I think, back in the 80s, which Trump didn't hire them. One of his project managers did. Trump settled out of court and compensated these people or whatever he had to do because he's the CEO of Trump Inc. or Co., whatever it is. He's ultimately the CEO. So like a good man, he didn't point fingers at anybody. He took it on the chin, paid out, and was done with it. But he didn't directly say, I'm going to hire Polish illegals today and cut corners on expenses. No, the lead on the project did that. So Trump University was total BS. So they would have had dirt on this man already. They don't. So Poland doesn't have fabricated stories and special prosecutions and probes and all this nonsense. So Poland is in much better shape. And Poland isn't selling military weapons to countries that fund terrorism, and we'll get into that later on in this hour. So Poland is leaps and bounds ahead of the United States of America as far as their governmental infrastructure and the decisions that they're making. So continuing with the clip.
Terrorist attacks. Washington Examiner reports that UK's National Counterterrorism Security Office told companies on Monday that they need to prepare their employees for the full range of terrorist attacks, just days after seven people were killed on and near the London Bridge. Following the attack in London Bridge, it is important that business remind their staff to stay alert and vigilant. The office wrote in a public memo, "The tragic events this year remind us that attacks can occur at any time or place without warning. And we're not going to do anything about it. So just be vigilant. Just pray that you're not the next one to be axed across the head." Businesses are encouraged to review their security plans to ensure that the measures they should already have in place are current and have been recently tested to ensure staff are prepared and confident they can withstand a bomb or a knife or shotgun or a rifle, even though you don't have any. I'm sure you can work things out. It's noted that the London Bridge attack involved a vehicle and bladed weapons and said companies need to be ready for anything, including improvised explosive devices. You need to be ready, but we're not going to tell you how. You need to be ready, but we're not going to do anything to help you. But you need to be ready. The public can expect to see additional police, both armed and unarmed officers, of course unarmed, plenty of unarmed, that run from the terrorists across London, it said. In response to the ongoing threat, the public will see an increased policing and security presence across the country at key sites, such as train stations and other crowded places, to help warn you that you have danger, because they're really not going to protect you unless they're a man with a gun. The women, unless they have a gun, okay. But the women, no, they run.
Right. So Britain's answer to Islamic terrorism is to continue to allow these people in here, allow their no-go zones, and just police and military up, where you walk, it'll be to the point where you walk every 5 feet and there's a machine gun at every corner. Like you said, at every train station, at every sporting event, at every music concert, or what have you. So they'll just military and ramp up, which, by the way, costs more money. So they'll have to raise taxes on those that are left working. And as they receive more Muslim migrants, it's already been proven that these people don't work, and they immediately get welfare. Well, right? So that's more money going out. So the British government is going to have to recoup those funds in some way, shape, or form. So I don't know how this Jeremy Corbyn guy, I believe his name is Jeremy, right? I don't know how he could promise the British millennials free education. I don't know where this money is going to materialize. But you and I, we know the answer to that. So continuing on.
I've seen them run too many times in videos now. They just run. Breaking news, Twitter account belonging to anti-Trump NSA classified leaker exposed, and it's awful.
Okay, so I'm going to stop there with that clip. That's when he goes on to other subjects. I want to stay on Eastern Europe. So, I believe that we can safely establish the fact that Poland, according to that survey, in the last 5 calendar years, has suffered 0 Muslim terrorist attacks. That would be 0 Muslim terrorist attacks, because they have not allowed in one Muslim refugee. So, we can honestly say that the only real deterrent to Islamic terrorism in your particular country is to not allow these Muslim militants into the country. That is the only deterrent. It's not fighting ISIS 3,000 miles away. It's not ramping up military and police security at every corner of every city. And it's not citizens and businesses remaining vigilant that at any moment they can be blown up. Okay, those sort of systems in place are not working. So, Muslim jihadist terrorism. Solution? Don't let them in. And since Western Europe is overrun, Poland doesn't have to do a mass deportation because they don't have any. So they don't have to do that. Western Europe, they're behind the eight ball. They're going to have to go extra. Not only are they not going to have to, they got to stop them from coming in, they're going to have to kick many, 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 many out, if not all of them, to keep them down. So, moving on to Hungary, this is coming from Infowars.com, June 13th, by Dan Lyman. Globalists are using migrants as weapons against Europe, claims Hungarian Prime Minister. The European Union is openly siding with terrorists. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has accused the European Union of openly siding with terrorists. as the battle between his government and Brussels continues to escalate, with migrant crisis and refugee resettlement being the core issue at hand. Brussels is openly siding with terrorists, declared Orban in an address to Hungarian Parliament. Those who support migration want to demolish defense and will let migrants of uncertain origin, identity, and motivation settle in Hungary are acting against the Hungarian nation. Okay, let me just make this clear. Those that support migration, they know where these people are coming from. They know their identities. Maybe not every single individual, but they know the profile. And they know the motivation. The motivation is to create a one-world Muslim caliphate. That's the motivation. What these Muslims jihadists, maybe they don't know, or maybe they've been promised martyrdom. Maybe they know they're being used by the global elites, like the European Union and what have you, that should they, which I don't think they will, should they become successful, the Muslims will be wiped out. And then all spirituality will be extricated from the world, and the state will be your God. That is the Genesis 3:22, where God prevented man from becoming like gods. In other words, gods of their own destiny. But that's what the New World Order, Illuminati, Freemasons, European Union, Global Cabal, doesn't matter. They want to take Genesis 3:22 and they want to make it happen. They want to be the gods. They will decide every facet of your life. That's the end game. And because Islam and the global elites have so many things in common, the global elites can use them as a shield. Look, they're the bad guys. They're the ones killing people. Now, we're going to fight terrorism. We're going to let them into a country, but we're going to fight terrorism. We're going to go. We're going to condemn, you know, this radical Muslim jihad thing. It's radical. It really doesn't represent Islam. Muslims don't feel this way. It's a very small group. And we're going to save you, world. Trust us. Give us your money. Give us your freedom. Hand over your weapons, because we know how to do it better. We're trained experts. We'll take care of you. We've got you covered. Just trust us. See, that's the game. But countries like Poland and Hungary, they see the game. And the citizens of those two countries in particular are smarter than us. They're more united than us. They love their countries more than we do. Now, I am not talking specifically about my audience. I am talking the grand landscape from coast to coast, north and south, I'm talking. And that they love their countries more than we love our own. And that's why they've put leaders in place that they elected that will sincerely protect them. So I want to clarify that statement. The globalists know who they're sending in, they're funding them, they're moving them strategically, and they know the motive. So, again, Prime Minister Orban continues, as long as I am Prime Minister of Hungary and stand here, so will the border fence on the southern border. Hungary has been in the process of fortifying its physical border security, including implementation of electrified fence on their border with Serbia, InfoWars reported last month. Now, I know that it's still early in the game. I understand that President Donald Trump is not even 5 months in. I get it. So I'm going to use the statement as, I hope we really see some actual activity in fortifying our own southern border very, very soon. Okay? So I'll leave it at that for those of you that attack me for being so-called anti-Trump. And you're not going to love me much by the end of this show, may I add. So that's how Poland and Hungary are dealing with it. In contrast, let's move on to Britain and Germany. Jeremy Corbyn has demanded that the UK government forcibly seize private property in order to house people. And again, this is coming from Infowars.com, Paul Joseph Watson. Now, here's the thing, and here's why I'm using this one. This article is going to tell you that this is Corbyn's response not to Muslim migration, but to the massive Grenfell Tower inferno tragedy that now I believe the death toll is over 30, and they've got over 30 injured, and they're still looking through the rubble, I imagine. So Corbyn is saying here, properties must be found, requisitioned if necessary, stolen in my language, to make sure those residents do get rehoused locally. So in other words, I'm a British citizen. I happen to be successful. I happen to own multiple properties, as one, you know, would normally do with their money. Like here in America, a lot of people have multiple homes. So you mean to tell me that if I have a home in somewhat close proximity to the Grenfell Tower and I don't occupy it throughout the entire year, you mean to tell me that the government, and I should be okay with this, can take my private property that I earned or that my parents earned and gave to me via inheritance, I have to be okay with turning it over because a fire happened that I had nothing to do with? That's basically what Jeremy Corbyn is demanding. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a problem with that. I understand that a tragedy was suffered. Well, tragedies happen all the time. Intentional, accidental, or accidentally on purpose. And seizing private property from property owners, in my book, is theft, and that's a crime. And there's no justification for stealing property in lieu of a tragedy. So Corbyn goes on to say, it cannot be acceptable that in London you have luxury buildings and flats, apartments, kept as land banking for the future while the homeless and the poor look for somewhere to live. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm all for helping the less fortunate. But I support voluntary charities. And by the way, just as a side note, it's a proven fact that Christians give way more to charity. By far, the biggest group of people than any other group on the planet. Just to be clear. And I don't see why Jeremy Corbyn and the government couldn't ask rich people, I don't know how many are left in Britain, quite frankly, if in some way, shape, or form that they could help these misplaced people out. But if I have earned my money, legitimately especially, and I buy another property, and it's a recreational home, it's a tax shelter, that's my business. It's my business and it's my right. But this communist doesn't seem to think so. And the British millennials who probably don't own a damn thing love this guy. But they wouldn't love him so much if he was able to seize their property. And see, that's the kicker. See, socialists love socialism as long as other people's money are being paid, or being used rather, to pay for their views. But once that spigot runs dry, and the owners of socialism comes to the people that voted for socialism with the handout saying, okay, give me what you got. Oh, then they all of a sudden love capitalism, right? Just like the homosexuals, was it Florida? I keep forgetting. Florida, right? In that Pulse nightclub or whatnot, most of them detested the Constitution, detested the Second Amendment, detested Donald Trump. Once a Muslim jihadist comes in and wipes everybody out, oh, Donald Trump is my president. Let's make America great again. And by the way, I'm going to get a gun license. You see how that works out, folks? See, here's the difference between what we dub the awakened ones and what we dub the ignorant. The red pill versus the blue pillars. The red pillars are proactive. We see the forest through the trees. We want to stop bad things from happening before they happen. The blue pillars, the ignorant ones, they only change their views. And I've seen it happen after they've been personally wronged. That's reactive. The red pillars are proactive. The blue pillars are reactive. That's really the core difference. I mean, there's millions of them, but if you want to break it down, that's the difference. The difference between being proactive and reactive. And if this guy Corbyn gets more powerful and the free education nonsense, the seizing of property nonsense, if he's all successful with that, when the British millennials grow up, they're in for a huge surprise. And see how fast they start blaming other people for the predicament they're in. I really seriously wonder that if this man is successful, I wonder how many British millennials will own up to the mistake they made. Because quite frankly, when it comes to Obama, on Facebook, I could probably use one hand, seriously, I could probably count maybe to five of my particular Facebook universe where they've admitted that they made a huge mistake voting for Barack Obama the first time and didn't vote for his re-election, that saw the light and were brave enough to admit they made a massive mistake. No more than five people, to my recollection. So I wonder how many British millennials are going to admit what they've done. So I picked this article because it's going to segue into what Germany is doing. Germany is confiscating homes to use for migrants. This comes from the Gatestone Institute International Policy Council, written by Soren Kern, May 14th, 2017. In an unprecedented move, Hamburg authorities confiscated 6 residential units in the Ham district near the city center. A trustee appointed by the city is now renovating the properties and will rent them against the will of the owner to tenants chosen by the city. District spokeswoman Serena Welland said that all renovation costs will be billed to the owner of the properties. So that's real nice. So, in other words, I'm living in Hamburg, Germany, and I own a multi-residential complex. The nation of Germany, the German government, is going to forcibly put a construction crew or crews into my complex, do renovations. They're going to choose who my new tenants are going to be, and they're going to be these Muslim migrants, and then they're going to hand me the bill for the cost of those renovations. Does anyone have a problem with that? So I get the bill. So, government agent walks in. Yeah, come in. Michael B., yes? You own the residential complex over there? Yes? Well, we're going to renovate it for you. We're going to choose who's going to move in there, but you're going to pay for it. Well, I don't want to do renovations. I like my complex the way it is, and when I'm ready or as I rent it out, I'll make the renovations then, and I'll decide who I want to rent it out to. I own the property. No, you may own the property, but no, we're gonna either seize it. We'll seize it from you then if you don't cooperate, or that's the bottom line. So we're gonna renovate it. We're gonna give you the bill, and then we're gonna put tenants in that we see fit. That's nice. It's great. Similar expropriation or theft measures have been proposed in Berlin, the German capital, but abandoned because they were deemed unconstitutional. You think? Some Germans are asking, what's next? Will authorities now limit the maximum amount of living space per person? Like they did in communist Russia. And force those with large apartments to share them with strangers. Yep, that's what communist Russia did. If you were not part of the Communist Party, if you didn't pledge allegiance to the Kremlin, that's what happened to you. If you had a decent-sized apartment, well, they threw people in and, well, you just became a family. Isn't that nice? Well, this also is happening in Italy. Infowars.com did several articles on property outright seized. I mean, not even, you know, from that German article, it sounds like, okay, we're going to renovate your property, you're going to pay for it, we're going to put in the people who we want to put in, but it seems like the article said rent will be charged. And for now, because I don't know any more data, I'm going to assume, though, at least I get the rent collected. I don't know who sets the price of the rent, but at least it sounds like I'll get some money in. Whereas in Italy, no, they're just outright kicking out property owners and throwing in Muslim migrants. That's what's being reported by multiple independent sources. So that's what we got. So let's move on to the domestic front. Let's move on into the Trump soap opera. So we all know that, I got this guy's name. The assistant attorney general What's this guy's name? Rod J. Rosenstein appointed Robert S. Mueller, I guess it's Mueller, I have no idea, the third, who was a former FBI director, as special counsel. Now, this article is coming May 17th. And we're basically a calendar month into it. Well, a month into it. And we're finding out now that Attorney General Sessions was compelled to testify. Donald Trump has offered to testify, which I find absolutely insane. I don't know why you would do that. They're going to try to trip you up. Obama never testified in the 8 years of all of his nonsense, but they want to testify. I really question the intelligence of all concerned parties here. And I just wonder if this is one big stage setting. But we will find out eventually in weeks or months just how deeply rehearsed all of this of this nonsense is. So, who is Special Prosecutor Robert S. Mueller III? Well, this is coming from the Daily Wire because, I mean, let's face it. If there's any dirt on this guy, mainstream media isn't going to report it. I'm shocked that they let Newt Gingrich go off on this guy. I think he was on Fox when he did it. I'm not quite sure because I don't watch mainstream media anymore. Yes, I'm saying that in a matter of pride and condescendency. I'm above mainstream media. I don't watch Fox. Yeah, I'm saying it that way. Too bad. So I'm surprised that they let that go through. So anyway, deep state coup. Special Prosecutor Mueller packs team with Obama and Clinton loyalists. And again, this comes from the Daily Wire. Do they say who the writer is? Yes, John Nolte. So, to make it crystal clear as possible just how corrupted and compromised Russiagate Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller is, let's do a thought experiment. The year is 1998. The Monica Lewinsky scandal has just exploded all over President Clinton after President Clinton exploded all over Monica Lewinsky. And assigned as a special prosecutor to the case is a man who not only immediately hires a bunch of Reagan and Bush loyalists, but he is also best friends forever with Linda Tripp, the woman who blew the whistle on the affair with serendipitous recordings of Lewinsky. Question. Do you think that maybe under those circumstances, the special prosecutor might be corrupted and compromised? Of course he would be. But that is the same sleazy situation that already surrounds Russiagate Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. Through his illegal and unethical leaks, the serial liar we call former FBI Director James Comey has willingly set himself up as the Linda Tripp of the Russiagate hoax, maneuvered himself into a position as a key witness in the phony case of obstruction against President Trump. The phony case of obstruction. Comey admitted he leaked secret notes about his conversations with Trump via one of his best friends, a law professor, to the media, which was the New York Times, and did so specifically as a means to see a special prosecutor assigned. So, he leaks a memo, which looks to be full of lies. Either the memos are complete lies or his May 3rd testimony and it's subsequently last week's testimony then also becomes a lie because he fortified the May 3rd testimony. Trump was never under investigation for Russia. Trump never ordered him to stop the investigation of Russia or Michael Flynn. And Russia had no impact on the election results. So he fortified his May 3rd testimony, which puts these alleged memos, which we've yet to see in person, it's yet to be made public so people can read them to see what's exactly in there. So he manipulated, right? Sure. And who honestly believes that James Comey was able to manipulate the Department of Justice into appointing a special prosecutor? Like, this wouldn't have happened anyway. Like we needed a memo or two leaked to the New York Times that nobody has seen, made the Department of Justice and the Assistant Attorney General, who very conveniently was in charge of this Russian gate hoax, because Attorney General Jeff Sessions, nobody asked him to, and nothing he did or alleged to have done called for him to recuse himself from anything involving a Russian investigation. Because I'll tell you what, if Jeff Sessions never recused himself, Rod Rosenstein wouldn't have the power to appoint Mueller as a special prosecutor. There would be no special investigation, and Comey's testimony would have ended it right there. Do you see the game? So, you really have to wonder, what side is Attorney General Jeff Sessions on? You gotta wonder where anybody really sits. You gotta think about where Pence sits. I mean, I'm calling everybody, folks. I'm calling everybody. And quite frankly, and I'm gonna say it, I have to call into question Donald Trump's reasonings. Because this whole thing gets avoided if he fired Comey on day one. And then the Democrats gave Trump a second opportunity when they called for Comey to be fired, and he didn't do it. He only fires Comey after Russiagate really, really gained steam and momentum, and after Antifa dies down because universities outside of summer courses closed up for summer. Do you get it? Do you get the picture? I've said this before during the week. The Black Lives Matter thing dies down. They move on to Antifa. As Antifa gains momentum, they know summer recess is coming. University populations are going to drastically decline for the next few months. We've got to really, really, really ramp up this Russiagate stuff. Meanwhile, consumer confidence dwindles. Only 138,000 job net gain is done in May. And many reports, mainstream and independent report, out of those 138,000 jobs, 133,000 were part-time, low-wage jobs. Which, me not being an economic expert, tells me then that only 5,000 full-time quality jobs where you can make really a decent to good living were created. Divide that by 50 states, just giving a mean, you get 100 quality full-time jobs being created throughout all 50 states. And then you have to think about, okay, in those states and in the entire country at large, how many people by the time May ended became eligible for full-time work? I don't have those stats. I really haven't dug into that yet, haven't had the time. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that throughout this entire country, more than 5,000 Americans became eligible to work full-time in the month of May 2017. So we're already at the midpoint of June. We're nearing the end of the second quarter. So in July, all of the stats come out. The monthly stats and the quarterly stats come out. Now, I wonder what the ratio is going to be between talking about Russiagate or the state of the economy. 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. I wonder how that's going to work out. So, let's talk a little bit more. I'm going to go into overtime because I want to play some clips. I want to get this show done for the weekend. So, the special prosecutor Comey willed into being is his best friend, Robert Mueller. I mean, this just gets better. And I'm going to look into this Rosenstein character. I want to see who he is. I'll have that for Monday, most likely. As the Daily Wire's Elliot Hamilton pointed out yesterday, that kind of relationship between a key witness and a special prosecutor is a violation of government ethics. Now, I would like to know why an independent writer can come up with this, and I'm going to read you the passage that he's referring to. I want to know why Elliot Hamilton can come up with this, but the Senate Judiciary Committee can't come up with this. So, here's the passage. No DOJ employee may participate in a criminal investigation or prosecution if he has a personal or political relationship with any person or organization substantially involved in the conduct that is the subject of the investigation or prosecution, or would be directly affected by the outcome. See, that to me, that also looks like a conflict of interest. It's the same thing if I committed a crime, I'm on trial, and I'm having an affair with the assistant district attorney, the prosecutor. Do you think there'd be anything wrong with that picture? I'm having a romantic relationship with the prosecutor and I'm the defendant. So, Robert Mueller and James Comey seems to have a personal friendship. He's the special prosecutor. Comey could be under indictment for perjury. Elliot Hamilton, an independent journalist, he could come up with this stuff. But the Senate Judiciary Committee, they can't come up with this stuff. So to me, that sounds like Robert Mueller should have been automatically disqualified. But he's allowed to continue. There is no question that Comey is substantially involved And there's no question that Comey and Mueller have both a personal and political relationship. As is the case with all things left-wing, the news actually gets worse overnight. According to LifeZet, whatever that is, Mueller is packing his witch hunt with Democrat donors, specifically donors to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. That's his team, that is his investigative team. Worse, one of Mueller's picks was a Clinton Foundation lawyer. I mean, really? Four top lawyers hired by Mueller have contributed tens of thousands of dollars over the years to the Democratic Party, Democratic candidates, including former President Barack Obama and President Trump's 2016 opponent, Clinton. One of the hires, Jeannie Rhee, also worked as a lawyer for the Clinton Foundation and helped persuade a federal judge to block a conservative activist's attempts to force Bill and Hillary Clinton to answer questions under oath about operations of the family-run charity. This can't get any more disgusting, or could it? Another lawyer, James Corliss, donated thousands of dollars to Democrats, including $2,700 to Hillary just last year. Andrew Weissman donated $2,300 to Obama in 2008, $2,600 to the DNC in 2006. Michael Drebin donated $250 to Hillary in 2006. Of the tens of thousands of dollars, these four have donated to Democrats and Democrat causes. Only two donations could be found to Republicans, one for $250 a full 11 years ago, and a $2,500 donation to Representative Jason Chaffetz in 2015. After nearly a year of billions of corporate media dollars being spent to look into it, after nearly a year of the entire infrastructure of the federal government looking into it, after months of the Obama administration's secret and illegal spying, there's absolutely no evidence of any collusion between Trump and Russia, as James Comey again stated in his recent testimony. So what is Mueller investigating really? Nothing. Nevertheless, Mueller's investigation hasn't even gotten started. Well, it has, and it already is illegitimate, thoroughly compromised, and in violation of government ethics rules. This is a deep state coup. Nothing more, nothing less. And in a democracy, no, a representative republic, a coup is not only against the sitting president, it is against the people who elected him. You and I. That is correct. Actually, this is after the verb. It really should be you and me, but I'm going to leave that alone. And as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going out on a limb here, I'm going to say this deep state coup, based on Attorney Jeff Sessions recusing himself from the Russian investigation, handing power over to his assistant, Mr. Rubenstein, who I haven't looked into yet. As far as I'm concerned, Jeff Sessions, based on your actions within Russiagate, I'm going to say for now, you, sir, are a suspect in this deep state coup. And as time rolls on, we'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. I'll be posting this article on Robert Mueller later today separately on Facebook. So, sticking with Trump news. Now, I'll probably maybe get beat up again, as I've been getting beaten up throughout the week for my May economy statements. I'll probably get beaten up for this. So Donald Trump went on this Middle Eastern tour, and in that tour, he worked out a multi-billion dollar deal or hundreds of million dollar deal, whatever it was, to sell military weapons to Saudi Arabia. Now, as I've stated in the past, Donald Trump, as he was running for president, demanded that the 28-page report on 9/11 be declassified. Donald Trump was very successful in getting that 28-page document declassified, and the gist of it was that at least, in my opinion, at least, because I know they did way more than that with the United States government, but at least they financed 9/11. So, the United States government admits that Saudi Arabia financed 9/11, which killed over 3,000 Americans and wounding many, many more. How that's not an act of war, I have no clue. But I thought we at least elected a president who called for that release, who said he was going to fight terrorism, who said he was going to destroy ISIS. Saudi Arabia is accused of financing 9/11. Then how does it make sense for him to sell military weapons to Saudi Arabia? Like, why would he do that? He then, a few days ago, talks about Qatar. And I'm going to play this clip right here, right now.
I have just returned from a historic trip to Europe and the Middle East. I addressed a summit of more than 50 Arab and Muslim leaders, a unique meeting in the history of nations, where key players in the region agreed to stop supporting terrorism, whether it be financial, military, or even moral support. The nation of Qatar, unfortunately, has historically been a funder of terrorism at a very high level. And in the wake of that conference, nations came together and spoke to me about confronting Qatar over its behavior. So we had a decision to make. Do we take the easy road, or do we finally take a hard but necessary action? We have to stop the funding of terrorism. I decided, along with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, our great generals and military people, the time had come to call on Qatar to end its funding. They have to end that funding and its extremist ideology in terms of funding. I want to call on all of the nations to stop immediately supporting terrorism. Stop teaching people to kill other people. Stop filling their minds with hate and intolerance. I won't name other countries, but we are not done solving the problem, but we will solve that problem. Have no choice. This is my great priority because it is my first duty as president to keep our people safe. Defeating ISIS and other terror organizations is something I have emphasized all during my campaign and right up until the present. To do that, stop funding, stop teaching hate, and stop the killing. For Qatar, we want you back among the unity of responsible nations. We ask Qatar and other nations in the region to do more and do it faster.
Well, isn't that a cute message? Let's stop the hate. Stop teaching the Muslims to hate. Qatar, come into the fold and join us in peace and love and hugging and kissing everybody. Stop financially, physically, and morally supporting hate and murder. Stop it, Qatar. Come join us. And I guess as a sign of good faith from Donald Trump, he signs a $12 billion deal. Qatar will pay the United States $12 billion for 36 F-15 QA fighter jets. And the deal was signed just 2 days ago in Washington, D.C. by Qatar's defense minister, who met with Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis. So, here we have the President of the United States, candidate Trump first, pledging to stop this Muslim jihad, promising to destroy ISIS, promising to keep America safe. He signs a military weapons deal with Saudi Arabia, who funded 9/11, according to the 28-page report. Just days ago, he condemns Qatar for funding terrorism. And now he's going to sell 36 F-15 QA fighter jets to this very country. Now, you know, everyone, a lot of people in my inner circle like to call me a pessimist. They like to call me, I'm negative. Well, how am I to put a positive spin on these two weapons deals? How am I supposed to say, that's a great thing, Mr. President. You've just bet you got one country to be labeled the funder of 9/11. You've just condemned another country for funding and supporting Islamic terrorism. And then within, what, a week or two of each other, you signed two weapons deals? You're going to sell weapons and jets to those very same countries that have been founded to and accused of funding terrorism? How am I supposed to be positive about that, ladies and gentlemen? How am I not supposed to be critical? That defies all logic. And I'm going to be posting that separately on Facebook as well. And I want to see you same Trump flakes gave me the same beating you've been giving me since Monday. I want to see it. Now, in addition to that clip, here's an editorial from Alternative Media TV run by Christopher Green. Now, this must be one of his, you know, staff, perhaps, or maybe an independent person hubbing through AMTV. And he's going to talk about how he thinks Qatar plays in all of this. Here's this clip, and I find it very interesting.
The nation of Qatar, unfortunately, has historically been a funder of terrorism at a very high level.
Are you prepared? Click the link below or visit our store at store.amtvmedia.com. Enter promo code SURVIVE15 for a limited time. Get 15% off the AMTV exclusive bug out bag. I guarantee you'll find nothing else like it on the market. I've packed it myself. It is extreme, hardcore, hard-hitting, high quality. Also get 15% off all food storage, 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, and 30-day. For a limited time, enter promo code SURVIVE15 at store.amtvmedia.com. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is it just me, or is Donald Trump getting played by Saudi Arabia? I mean, he goes on his first foreign trip. He signs a $400 million deal with Saudi Arabia, comes back. And now, all of a sudden, Saudi Arabia has targeted the country responsible for all the terrorism.
Okay, right then and there, Donald Trump isn't being played. He's the CEO of the United States of America. He called out those two countries. He knows what he's doing.
In the world,
four Gulf countries, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Bahrain, and the UAE, have severed diplomatic ties with Qatar.
The Arab nations are accusing Qatar of supporting terrorism.
Now look, I'm sure Qatar has a role when it comes to funding radical Islamic groups in the region, just like Saudi Arabia, but they're getting all the blame out of nowhere. You know what it is? That $400 million military arms deal that we hooked them up with gave them, Saudi Arabia, a huge military advancement in the region. And Saudi Arabia is just trying to establish their Sunni dominance in the region. Now listen a little bit more to what Donald Trump was saying regarding Qatar.
Nations came together and spoke to me about confronting Qatar over its behavior.
Nations are telling me that Qatar is the one responsible. He means Saudi Arabia. That's the one in his ear. Obviously, the connection between the Donald Trump administration and Saudi Arabia is very strong. Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the West, the New World Order in general, has one main goal. And that is completely destroying Iran and removing their influence from the Middle East, along with Russia's. And not only remove Iranian influence, they want to remove any Shia dominance throughout the region. That's why Saudi Arabia is attacking the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And that's why, again, you have Bashar al-Assad being backed by Russia while the West is backing these Sunni groups, these rebels that are just ISIS and other radical Islamic groups. In order to secure that dominance in the region, you have to at least have the perception of legality.
Saudi Arabia's Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology has 350 digital counterterrorism experts always watching, always listening.
You have to have the perception that you don't support terrorism or fund terrorism.
Yeah, and I really trust Saudi Arabia looking out for terrorism as much as the speaker here.
Right? So as they're establishing the Sunni dominance in the region, who's the best scapegoat? Who is going to be the scapegoat? It looks like Qatar. If Saudi Arabia wants to dominate the region, they can't be bogged down by accusations of funding terror groups. So let's just push it all on Qatar.
In order to protect our national security from the threat of terrorism and extremism, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has decided to sever diplomatic ties with Qatar.
Now, real funny part that Donald Trump said in his remarks is right here. Let me play it for you.
We have to stop the funding of terrorism.
You know, every time I hear funding terror coming out of a U.S. president, no matter who it is, I just start just bawling my eyes out. Funding terror? We've been funding terror since the beginning. And that's why you're seeing this New World Order alliance. You're seeing Donald Trump go to Saudi Arabia when he went on his trip, holding that New World Order globe with the king. They're getting ready for what's to come. And it is going to be this big battle. They are attempting to remove any Russian and Shia Muslim influence in the region because these countries are puppets of the West. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the UAE, puppets of the West. So that's why they want to make sure they dominate the region. There's a lot of big things happening and on the forefront, but Russia, guys, all right? Russians are falling out of the sky, crashing into your household on a daily basis, completely destroying your livelihood. So don't pay attention to what's happening in the Middle East. Please, don't. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Again, my name is Chad. This is AMTV, hard hitting and in your face. I'll be back soon.
All right, so that's right. Don't pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East, and don't pay attention to the economy. Just focus on Russiagate. Don't worry about these weapons deals to countries sponsoring and financing terrorism. Don't worry about it. Just stick to Russiagate. I am very suspicious of Donald Trump signing these weapons deals. I'm very suspicious of Attorney General Jeff Sessions recusing himself from any part of a Russian investigation, which has opened a Pandora's box. How far? I mean, does this deep state coup, is it really a coup against the president? Or quite frankly, based on a few of his decisions, is he really in on it too? Is this coup really against the American people? I'm just asking the question, folks. I'm just asking the question. I am confident that in the weeks and months ahead, those questions will be answered one way or another here on the Truth Zone. My name is Michael B. Deep within the vortex of the information revolution. See you Monday, 10 a.m. Central.